A lot is packed into a small place in South Park. It's kind of out of the way, tucked between State Route 509 and the Duwamish River. The people who live here love the small town feel. They catch up at Via Vadi, the neighborhood's only coffee shop. Good pizza, Mexican food, and beer from the local brewery are just steps away. But there's also a lot of crime.
The drugs.
I saw a lady getting beat up.
The gang activity. Don't make eye contact. Don't look at them.
A cop never showed up, and the guy was dragging her somewhere, and I never ended up seeing where they went.
The prostitution that just happens in cars on the street.
They broke into my garage by taking the boards off on the alley side.
Degenerate people doing whatever they want. It's not neighborly.
That's Farrah Clinch, Max Lambeau, and Joseph Murphy. Even though they've all been witnesses to and victims of crime, they all agree with their neighbor, Jeff Hayes, who truly believes that 99% of the people in South Park are wonderful. He loves this place.
It's one of the most ethnically diverse neighborhoods in the city, has more children per capita than probably most other neighborhoods in the city. If there's going to be a neighborhood in the city that is representative of what city leaders say they want Seattle to be, it is South Park.
Jeff is 55 years old. He's a retired captain with the Seattle Fire Department. His brother is a retired Washington State Patrol officer. His brother-in-law and his nephew are cops in Kennewick.
Police officers are near and dear to my heart and are an integral part of my family.
Jeff is the block captain of block captains. He's a big man with a shaved head and a soul patch. He has lived in the same wood frame craftsman house on South Cloverdale for 17 years with his wife. They raised their daughter in this home. Out in the garage is where Jeff keeps his Harley Davidson, a road king. Not only does he know which homes brew the trouble in South Park where the pimps, the drug dealers, and the gang members live, he reports what he sees to police. One of these homes is right next door.
It's always been a problem.
It's his neighbor's house. Victoria and Stephen Blacktongue and their five children. Blacktongue, it's an unusual name. Stephen was born and raised on the Blackfoot Indian Reservation in Montana. Since April 2014, Seattle police have visited their modest single-story home 23 times.
You know, I've got emails going back 2 years to appropriate officials complaining about the obvious criminal activities going on over there.
One incident a few months ago involved a group of teenagers from the house who started randomly attacking things outside with a pickaxe.
One of my fellow neighbors came out of her house running with a phone in her hand and said, "Jeff, you need to go around to the back alley. There's some kids back there with a pickaxe, and they've taken to our fence, and they've taken to our boat, and I'm afraid they're going to go after my husband."
911, what are you reporting?
My husband just went after some kids in our back alley, jumped over the fence. I think they were beaten on our fence, and the kids are out of control. It's no help.
From the street, the Blacktongue house looks a little run down, but nothing out of the ordinary. However, when you go around the back in the alley, the small yard is packed with an incredible amount of garbage. An abandoned car, what looks like a busted washing machine, an RV that's seen better days, has a blue tarp over its roof. It's a giant mess that can only be made right with the help of a tow truck, a backhoe, and a dumpster. It's a stark contrast to Jeff's yard next door, which has a wooden fence free of graffiti and a neatly trimmed lawn. As we stand in the alley, a maroon sedan pulls up. With the car running, a man gets out. Jeff doesn't recognize him and goes inside the back door of the Blacktongue house.
And I don't know what that guy's doing. I've never seen that guy before. I've never seen that vehicle before. If I called 911 right now, they would say, "Well, what are you reporting?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm reporting suspicious activity." "Well, what makes it suspicious?" And they end up making you feel like a fool for even calling 911 when you know that there's something bad going on. And I've been doing this for years. That's what I live next to.
Jeff Hayes has made many attempts to try and change the situation next door, to somehow make a dent in the chaos.
I have knocked on the door several times and spoken to Mr. Blacktongue, and was told that a lot of the people that are using his house for fencing stolen property and buying drugs are not people that he knows, and he has no control over it. I said, well, why don't you call the police? And he said, because I'm a convicted felon, and I just don't talk to police anymore. When I would go around to the back and actually confront the people in back, I would be threatened with violence. My house would be threatened with fire. They would threaten my family.
Jeff has called the police dozens of times. He sent multiple emails to Seattle's Department of Construction and Inspections about the garbage. He's called the State Department of Social and Health Services to report that he can see the teenagers next door drinking alcohol and getting high. Jeff says the state told him there isn't enough evidence to open a case looking into the welfare of the kids. The city's Department of Construction and Inspections has been out to take a look at the property and is now fining the home's owner, Victoria Blacktongue, for the conditions outside. So far, she owes more than $1,000.
I can't pay that. Sure, I'll give you guys that money and tell the mortgage company, sorry, I don't know what to do.
The day I knock on Victoria's door, or Vicky, as she likes to be called, there's a piece of paper taped to the front. In red marker are these words: stay away. You know who you are. Don't ever come back. Vicky is tired. She's missing some teeth. She's dealt with depression most of her life and is on disability. She quit using heroin years ago and goes to a methadone clinic twice a week.
I haven't given them a dirty UA since 2007.
UA is a...
Urine analysis where they screen us for drugs in our system.
Vicky knows what people are saying about her property and what goes on here.
I'm doing my best. I don't know if they can see it or if they can tell.
The room we're in, the living room, is really clean. The bare wood floors are still drying after being mopped, and there's a faint smell of bleach in the air. There's a couch, a few pictures of the kids when they were small, not much else. The house was built by her grandfather in the 1960s and passed down to Vicky by her mother. To understand how things got to where they are today, you have to go back several years to when Stephen Blacktongue, her husband, got out of jail for attempted murder. When his parole ended, Vicky says old habits returned and he started doing hard drugs again. Then there was a fire at the house, so they brought in the RV to live in while the place was being fixed up. All the while, Vicky says the kids were growing up watching their dad shoot up, getting high, and stealing stuff. They eventually got out of hand, too.
You know, the last couple years, they were bringing other kids, unruly kids, would come over here. This is the place to be unruly. No. I didn't know what to do. I was trapped. I was overwhelmed. My kids were off the hook. My husband was off the hook. I couldn't get my husband to help me with the kids because he was worse than they were. I wanted to sneak out the window and run and hide, and nobody would find me ever again.
In December, Vicky says her husband got hooked on meth.
The lovely drug that it is drives him nuts. I didn't want him anywhere near me. I could tell. I know him. I've known him for how long now? And the way he's talking to me, his touch, everything, I didn't like it. I knew he was on that drug. I mean, he just kept getting worse and worse, and then, yeah, March 13th happened. That was horrible.
March 13th was the day Stephen Blacktongue walked into a 7-Eleven armed with an axe.
This is Q13 Fox News at 10.
A convenience store customer stopped a man who went on a violent hatchet rampage this morning by pulling out a pistol and shooting
him. It was Sunday, early in the morning. Stephen walked into a 7-Eleven near Burien carrying an axe. He started attacking the man behind the counter. He left a gash on the clerk's belly, but before he could cause any more harm, another customer with a legal concealed gun shot Blacktongue, killing him. Vicky doesn't know exactly why her husband did this. She suspects it was the meth that made him lose his mind. Vicky is trying to piece together a life that does not involve drugs, robberies, gangs, vandalism, or visits from the police. She's trying to keep the kids and their friends who want to use the place to store stolen property away from the house. There's a man living in the RV out back she doesn't really know. Even though he's pretty quiet, she still wants him out. She says hauling the RV away would cost $500.
I don't have that. I'm kind of stuck right now.
And then there's the problem with the condition of the house itself. Tara Salazar, Vicky's longtime friend, says the place doesn't have any running water. Tara says Stephen Blacktongue's drug addict friends went under the house and took all of the pipes.
They came and stole her copper plumbing, but then after they put the plumbing in, they crawled under their house and stole it again. So there's no plumbing.
So you're home. You can't use the bathroom.
We lined the toilets with garbage bags, and my son takes the garbage out.
Vicky says the city stopped collecting the trash months ago. So for now, garbage bags filled with human waste are stored in the backyard. She says police have told her that where the pipes used to be in the crawl space, this is where suspects on the run in the neighborhood sometimes hide out. Even though Vicky wants to turn things around and make things right with people like her neighbor, Jeff Hayes, the criminal element of South Park might refuse to let go of this house. Meanwhile, Jeff has complained to the right people, the right agencies. Now all he can do is wait for something to happen. It could take a while, and he's really frustrated.
It feels like as a citizen, I'm in a cage and the police department puts me on the hamster wheel to run in a circle because they don't want to have to deal with me outside of the cage and have to really deal with it, the issues that are confronting this neighborhood.
We've been dealing with Mr. Hayes and the Blacktongue House for quite some time.
This is Pierre Davis. He's the captain of Seattle's Southwest Police Precinct, which includes South Park. He says police can't do anything without building a case. The Blacktongues have rights just like everyone else.
If you're going to do something narcotics-wise, because that seems to be the crux of a lot of the issues down there, there's probable cause that has to be developed. And we just can't build this stuff out of thin air. There has to be a certain amount of workup that's associated with that. We can't flood the area and kick people out of their houses or arrest them for no reason. There has to be something there for us to go forward.
So what about the physical state of the Blacktongue property, the garbage, the RV, the trash bags of sewage? Is there anything the city can do about that? Brendan Brophy, an assistant city attorney for Seattle, says if Vicky doesn't clean up her yard, fines will continue to stack up. The courts could get involved and force Vicky to let the city help out, but not for free.
They're basically ordered to allow the city to clean it up for them, and then, you know, again, they're charged for that process. So.
And then what if they don't have the money?
Collections.
This work can cost thousands of dollars. Again, all billed to the owner. And the lack of plumbing in the house? No laws are being broken there.
If you want to set up a tent in your living room and live that way, it's you know, it's your property. You can do that.
At this point, you're probably wondering, why doesn't Jeff Hayes move?
I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. The worse it gets, the more I refuse to leave, because I'm not going to leave until it gets better.
And are you willing to die for this?
No, I'm not willing to die for it. I try to balance that line between doing something and not putting my personal safety at risk.
Vicky doesn't want anyone else to get hurt either. She doesn't want anyone else to die. And while she has talked about selling her house, she really doesn't want to move away from the neighborhood her family has called home since the 1940s. She wants to do right by her neighbors. She wants the same thing that Jeff wants. No crime, no drama. But as she said earlier, she's a little stuck right now.